Overnights
with Rod Quinn.
On ABC Radio and ABC Radio Overnights podcast, it is time to talk health and fitness with our very special guest, as always, Professor Gordon Lynch from the University of Melbourne. Gordon, good morning.
Good morning, Rod. Good to be with you.
And thank you very much for your continued support of this program. This morning, we talk about protein. Now, you, like me, have been to the United States.
Yes, I used to live there.
Yes. And what I found was odd at times is that you're ordering your meal in a restaurant and instead of saying, oh, what sides would you like with that or whatever, they say, what protein would you like with that? I've always found that to be really off-putting. That is not really the way I want to think about ordering a meal in a restaurant.
I haven't experienced that.
Oh, it's very odd.
Not in recent times, anyway. I mean, that's a very, very interesting protein on the side. Wow.
Yeah, so
should be protein up front, I would think.
Well, that's what I was going to ask about, because what is protein, how do we get it, and why is it so important?
Protein, when we talk about the topic of today is about muscle and sort of maintaining muscle, protein is the major component of all muscle. And, you know, the protein we get from our diet is going to be essential if we're going to maintain muscle, if we're going to form new muscle tissue. And, you know, as we get older, there's a sort of reduced ability to use and store amino acids, which are the building blocks of protein. And so for people over the age of, say, 65 or so, the recommendations to consume protein, they sort of vary among countries, but, you know, between 0.8 to 1, sometimes a bit higher, gram per kilogram of body weight. And now you think about that, how am I going to get that much protein? But you can do it. But it's essential that we get protein on a constant basis through our diet for the maintenance of that muscle. And so I talk about the maintenance of muscle because as we get older, we lose muscle mass. Now, I've talked about this many times on our show, this age-related loss of muscle, it's called sarcopenia. And it's a whole range of different complex processes that lead to this loss of muscle mass as we get older. But, you know, as a result of that loss of muscle mass, we lose physical capacity. So if you lose muscle, you lose strength. As a consequence, it gets harder to perform the tasks of daily living. We are more susceptible to falling, and if we fall, we can get injured quite seriously, especially in frail elders. So it's very important that we do things to try and stave off this loss of muscle. And the consumption of protein in our diet is an important component of which we can slow down the rate at which this age-related process occurs.
So when I think of protein, I often think of red meat. Is that the best way to get protein, or the way that most of us would be getting it, those who aren't vegetarian or vegan?
Animal sources of protein, red meat is usually very high in amino acids and in the nutritional profile that you can get. Not everyone consumes red meat, but there's multiple sources of meat, flesh, that not necessarily red meat. It could be white meat, it could be chicken, it could be fish. There are other lean meats as well. If you're not a vegetarian, but if you are a vegetarian, there are options as well where there are foods that are containing plant proteins, which can also contribute to this total consumption of protein. I'm thinking things like nuts and seeds and beans and peas and those sorts of things. And there's dairy products which contain protein, yogurt as an example, cheese, and of course eggs. Depending upon the type of vegetarian you are, you may be able to have eggs. That eggs are a good source of protein as well. So there are multiple sources of protein that we can get in our diet, and we need to be thinking, well, how do we consume a sufficient amount? And also, what is the sufficient amount? And is it just about protein to maintain muscle?
And that is the question, isn't it? Depending on how old you are, what protein should you be consuming, and what muscle is it helping?
Well, I guess my point is it's the foods we eat, but it's also the activities we perform. Now, it's no surprise to our listeners that just consuming more food is not necessarily going to be the only way that we're going to maintain muscle. In fact, if we're consuming a lot of extra food, we're simply going to be putting on weight and not necessarily improving the capacity of our muscles to do work, which was going to, you know, help us get through the tasks of every day and so on. I talk about activity, and it's, you know, high protein meals, you know, theoretically will help the formation of protein, but activity patterns change as we get older as well. And I think a very important contribution to sarcopenia, this age-related loss of muscle mass, is the absence of physical activity. So the type of activity that we do is also going to be very important. I talk about resistance training, as you know, as being the best way to do it. Lifting weights or performing exercise against resistance, so it could be the resistance bands and so on. Many studies over, you know, since the sort of, I've been following this since the sort of the late 80s, hundreds upon hundreds of studies essentially showing the same thing, that even very old people in their 80s, 90s, even centenarians living in nursing homes in the US, they've shown that resistance training can benefit people at any age. So you're still able to benefit from performing this sort of activity, because that sort of activity stimulates the body's metabolism to produce more protein. So it's this combination of activity and also the food we eat to maintain the mass that we want, even to put on some muscle in situations if we're doing the right form of exercise. And I think those are the things that are sort of form the basis of the topic of today, the combination of both the food intake and the resistance training exercise, but fundamentally about protein and how much protein do we need to have.
Okay, Gordon Lynch is our guest as we talk protein. But when you talk about resistance, boy, some people do have resistance to red meat. How else are they going to get their protein? You mentioned eggs, you mentioned a few other things, but what else is the best way of getting protein?
Well, there are different ways in terms of I mentioned a number of different food sources, and the other sort of food sources we can get could come from supplements as well. And I think it could be argued, as I mentioned before, that simply eating more of those foods, and it could be chicken and fish or various types of lean meats, and it could be, you know, seeds and nuts and dry beans and those sorts of things. But just consuming all of that may, you know, a large amount of food means you're going to perhaps gain weight, and that's the last thing we want to have unnecessarily. So nutritional supplementation is another way of doing it. So another source that I would put on the list here could be protein supplements, and you can go to the health food store or nutrition store, and you'll see a range of different products, and it ranges from protein powders. It could be specific amino acid formulations that are sort of meant to be best for forming muscle and so on. But I think it's only one part of the equation. What the message I want to convey today is it's a two-pronged process. It's the food we eat, it's the activity we perform, and we need to get that right in order to maintain muscle, that's first and foremost, as we get older, but potentially to even build muscle in situations where we've lost muscle. We can get back to a situation where we can restore, the capacity to perform many of the things we take for granted through this combination of food intake, specifically protein intake, and resistance training.
So you talk about a lot of studies, and there has been one recently that you've referred to as well. Any more about that study?
Yeah, look, the reason I wanted to highlight this study was that it sort of questioned this need for excessive amounts of protein. There's always a thing, well, you need to have more protein, you need to have more protein above and beyond what's recommended. Well, this particular study, it came from the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, and it was a 10-week study, and it was, again, one of these resistance training studies with a dietary program. It involved 50 middle-aged adults, so they sort of ranged between 40 and 64 years of age. None of the participants had previous sort of weight training experience, so they go into this program, never done that exercise before. And the sort of take-home message from the study was that they found no evidence that eating a high-protein diet, and the high protein is beyond a moderate protein diet, no evidence that a high-protein diet increased strength or muscle mass more than consuming a moderate amount of protein. Now, the sort of way that they sort of separated the participants into these moderate levels and high-protein levels, the moderate protein group, it was around about 1.2 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight per day. Now, that's still up in the upper range, I would think. But the higher protein was about 1.6 grams per kilogram per day. So, you know, substantially more amount of protein compared to the moderate group. And they did the same sort of training, resistance training, and it was a very carefully controlled study. That was one of the reasons why I like this study, is that they were able to look at, you know, lean mass, blood pressure, glucose tolerance, many other health measures before and after the program. And they really monitored the amount of food they were eating. So they were given freshly cooked minced beef steak. They had a sort of a carbohydrate beverage with that after every training session. And the participants also had a protein drink in the evening throughout the 10 weeks of the study to match the category that they were in. And of course, they didn't know which category they were in. So the participants didn't know that. But the researchers had thought that just giving more protein, this higher quality source like beef and so on, and consuming more than the recommended daily allowance would, you know, aid the muscle growth and the strength in these middle-aged adults doing the resistance training. But at the end of the 10-week program, they actually saw no significant differences between the groups. So, you know, the gains between, you know, how much lean body mass they gained, the glucose tolerance, the kidney function, the bone density, all these different biomarkers of health, they were essentially the same between the moderate protein group and the high protein group. Now, it sort of makes you, what they concluded, that it makes them question whether it's necessary to have an excessive amount of protein in order to gain muscle mass. But it sort of pushes it back, and I think, well, are we making sure that we're even getting that recommended daily allowance of protein? Are we in that range? And of course, you know that I'm going to say this, it's not just about the consumption of protein. Are we doing the right forms of activity that make that magical mix work to preserve our muscles and, you know, preserve our activity as we get older?
Right. So if you're weighing about, you know, 90 kilos, like as many typical men do, women less than that, I would think, that's only maybe 140 grams of protein a day. That does not seem like very much.
Yeah, so if you add it up, I mean, I think about when I take, because I mean, I work pretty, probably work out pretty hard, as our listeners know, and I've been sort of giving updates over the last couple of decades. I was training in my 30s, I've been training in my 40s, now I'm training in my 50s. I'm still able to put on lean mass because I pay attention to the amount of protein I'm having. And I do have protein powders, etc., a scoop of this and a scoop of that, and each of them is sort of measured in a way to ensure that I'm getting, you know, a component of my total recommended daily allowance and a little bit more than that, because I'm working so much harder. So I think, yeah, it's, you look at that and you think, oh, okay, that seems like a pretty easy target. But the challenge, Rod, is to make sure that we're doing this in a practical way. And I think, you know, the American College of Sports Medicine, that I'm a fellow of, and we've been, the messages that have been coming from them for many, many years, is we should be trying to rotate the sources of protein. So rotate the chicken, you know, the skinless chicken, fish, lean meats as the main courses that you may be consuming throughout the day. If you're a meat eater, eating whole grains, nuts and seeds, peas and dry beans every day. So this is an extra source of protein. The low-fat dairy, and I mentioned yogurt is one that's been prominent in those things, and eggs as well, if, depending upon whether you're a true vegetarian or you're lacto-vegetarian, etc., you know, eggs can be an important source of protein as well. So there are various ways we can do it, but making sure practically that we're consuming. Remember, appetite changes as we get older as well. There is perhaps a diminished ability to uptake all those amino acids. So the stimulation comes from the exercise. So it's not just about consuming the food, it's making sure that we're doing the right forms of activity during the course of the week that will stimulate the metabolism to turn over, but also maintain the protein levels and possibly to gain muscle mass. And, you know, in terms of, you know, as I've said, training in, I've been training for many, many years, of course, since I was in my teens. But in the last, say, 2 decades I've been doing this show, as I said, training in my 30s, 40s, and now in my 50s, I'm still able to put on lean mass if I pay attention to what I'm eating, and especially if I do that right combination with the resistance training as well. It is a two-pronged approach.
All you need to know about protein from Gordon Lynch. Gordon, thank you very much for that. We will talk to you again same time next week.
Thanks a lot, Rod.
Gordon Lynch, Health and Fitness.
Overnights with Rod Quinn on ABC Radio.